Hello everyone and welcome to the Planet FM meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6. My name is Siobhan and I'm an alcoholic and will be chairing today's meeting. Could you please help me open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer?
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is the desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. Thank you for joining us this morning. Today our speakers are Janine, Ian, and Pearl, and they'll be sharing on their experience, strength, and hope. Janine, if I could ask you to please open our meeting today.
Good day, everyone. My name's Janine and I'm an alcoholic. I'm here today to share my story with you of my experience, my strength and my hope that I've with my time with AA. My journey with alcohol started when I was young. My family was a bit dysfunctional with their alcohol use. I grew up in a family where there was a lot of heavy drinking and a lot of dysfunction that surrounded that heavy drinking. So as a child, I was exposed to the alcohol use in a dysfunctional and way. So I didn't know anything different. But as I grow older, I could see that, you know, as I attended my friends' families, that not everybody's family got drunk every night and started abusing one another and carrying on. So I sort of became a bit withdrawn as a child, and I had these things in my mind that I would never drink, and that drinking's bad, and drinking created a lot of dysfunction and unhappiness. So that was what I did when I was a child, and I did tend to shy away from alcohol. But alas, I hit my teenage years and I did start to drink because it was kind of the cool thing to do and everybody did it and it was a social thing. And I thought, yeah, I want to fit in socially and I want to be the cool kid that has a drink or so. And, you know, and it did give me a bit of confidence to drink, and because I was a bit of a shy kid. So I started drinking maybe late teens, early 20s, and now hindsight, I can say I did probably drink quite a lot, but I could handle my drinking. I could drink and then go out and come home at 4 and then go to work, and I guess you could say I was a functional alcoholic. My body could handle it. I was quite fit. I could go to university. I could hold a job. But, you know, as I got older, the things started changing for me. Obviously, my use of alcohol changed, and my body's reaction to the alcohol drinking changed, and my personality changed as well. So I went from a sort of a social drinker to more of a relying on the alcohol as a crutch to deal with stuff that was happening in my life, to deal with some really severe things, like breakups and other dysfunctions in my life. I started using alcohol as a crutch. And so instead of going out, I'd be staying home and drinking on my own to black out. And yeah, it just wasn't good. During this time as well, I became a single parent. Yes, and I started letting a lot of people down and yeah, it was not a good thing. So I started trying to stop drinking. I thought I'd go to CADS, I'd learn about the fact that I'm drinking too much, I'll try and cut down my drinking, I'll try and, you know, only drink on certain days or drink certain low alcohol, percentage drinks, and so on and so forth. So I did that for a few years as well, but it really didn't seem to work, really. I mean, cutting out the drink was fine. I could do that for a month or two, so I'd be like, oh, okay, I'm sweet. I've got no problem. And then my well-meaning friends would say, oh, you're just a binge drinker. You're not really a, you know, full-blown alcoholic or whatever. So I went on that cycle for a few years, and then other things started happening which weren't very good, such as I'd be losing quite a few friends because of my behaviour. I'd be getting done for DIC. My poor child was suffering and hiding bottles of alcohol. So all the signs were there. I unfortunately had to hit rock bottom before I actually managed to come totally clean, if you want to put it like that. So my rock bottom, I had a crash in my vehicle. I crashed my car and I wrote my car off in another car and crashed into a house. And I nearly killed myself. I walked away fine, and it was like a miracle, apparently. So I looked at it as a miracle. And I can remember that night looking at my son and my other family members after what I'd done. And that was my rock bottom. I thought, everything is over. How much lower can you go? Except for, of course, to be dead. So I phoned someone from AA. I had been in and out of AA a few times, as I've said. I tried CADS before, but this time I felt something different was there. I mean, I just felt the choice was death or stopping to drink. And those were my options. So I find this lady from AA. She was so nice. I thought she wouldn't want to speak to me because I thought I'd done the worst thing. You know, I didn't think very highly of myself. She came round and she said, I'm taking you to a meeting. And I said, I thought, well, how's this going to help me? I've done this and I've ruined my life and this, that and the other. And anyway, she came round. She was a lovely lady. She came round, took me to an AA meeting. I went to the AA meeting. I think I was sober. I was in shock. My mind was just, yeah. Anyway, I kept going back and I actually listened this time. I had to stop overthinking. I had to stop thinking about how is this going to work? How is this going to help? I just had to keep going to meetings and accepting the help that was being offered to me by these lovely people. So I went to AA and conceded that I was powerless over alcohol and that, you know, AA works if you work at it. One of the numerous phrases that you've told when you go. And I kept going. I kept going day by day. I stayed sober. Hour by hour, I stayed sober at times. So I stopped drinking. And it wasn't just the stopping drinking that was the issue. It's learning to deal with life again and life's problems rather than drinking. I have to learn how to deal with them in other ways, or not drinking myself into a drunken stupor or blackout. So, you know, there was a lot of work involved. So they have things called the steps, and they have these other alcoholics there, which are really great because they understand you. They understand the way your crazy mind thinks, or, there are similar stories, so you actually feel like a human and not just a piece of, yeah, we don't feel, some of us don't feel that great about ourselves and what we've done. So I learned to forgive myself. So I've got a lot of strength from the rooms, and now my life has become a bit more hopeful. I can look forward now and not have to worry about too much, like killing myself in a car crash or having a hangover every other day, or letting my family down. I'm there for my son. He can come to me with problems. He can trust me again. And there's hope. My life's different now. And yeah, it's almost like being reborn, I suppose, in a funny way. But anyway, I'm really glad I came to AA and I stuck with it, and I've met some amazing people here, and the camaraderie and the understanding is just really good. So if you want to stop drinking, I'd recommend AA, but everyone has their own journey and everyone's journey is slightly different. And I hope my message today helps someone out there. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Janine. That was a really lovely share. Now, Ian, if I could ask you to please share your experience, strength and hope.
Thank you, Siobhan. My name's Ian. I'm an alcoholic. Giving up alcohol is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. Today I'm 909 days dry, but it's taken me 5.5 years to get to that position. My story, I'm from Ireland. I'm a big person. I played a lot of rugby, stereotypical Irish in rugby. I was always a party animal. Waking up the next morning thinking, was it me on the table and what I had said to offend someone? But I think looking back, it was about 12 years ago when I went through a separation that my drinking became a huge problem. But I managed it. When it became unmanageable was during COVID. During COVID, I lost my job. My children and I were in a bubble with my ex-wife. Two of my older boys were working on the Coromandel, so I wasn't really seeing them, if you remember. And then I had a week of me on my own, and then a week with two young children where I was able to hide the drinking. And probably looking back now, tried to control my drinking in those days. My controlled drinking was standing in the queue with my mask on outside New World at 7 a.m. to get my wine to see me through the day. But then I started to get sick. I wasn't looking after myself. I was drinking basically till I fell asleep and then wake up and repeat. These coffee granules started coming up, followed by blood. And rather than do anything about it, I was so desperate to keep drinking, I would push through that. I would have my second or third glass of wine, and by then the coffee granules and the blood would stop. The real reality call for me was when my son got over the border from the Coromandel, if you remember in those days, and he found me on my hands and knees in the garden vomiting blood. He asked me what was going on, and I said that not feeling very well. So during COVID, I was rushed to the North Shore Hospital and spent 9 days in the high dependency unit. They told me I was lucky I wasn't dead. In layman's terms, my stomach had just gone pop. And I had tubes coming out of me. I had drips coming out of me. And after 9 days, they told me I could go home. Effectively, it was a medical detox. They gave me a psychologist. They gave me CADS. And they asked me to maybe go to AA. So I decided I would do that. They said to me, because of what I'd done to my stomach, I couldn't drink alcohol for a year. And I didn't. I kind of just got through it myself. But after a year, I got a letter from the hospital to say, we need you to come in and check your stomach. So off I trot, tube down and tube up. And then they said to me, it's a miracle. The lining on your stomach has all come back. You're back to normal. I took that as, let's go and celebrate. I went crazy. I didn't start slowly. I was up to copious amounts of alcohol straight away. And after 8 weeks, the blood was coming back out again. And they rushed me over. I was very fortunate. I got into the mission. The mission in the city, it was the second week that the mission had ever been opened or over there, and to be honest, it was a godsend. This time, I got to 21 months. I still continued on with CADS, who were great, psychologist, and I went to AA, but I kind of look on reflection, I joined AA to keep my kids happy, to keep my partner happy. I think ultimately I knew that I would probably still have a drink one day, but just a question of when that would be. 21 months this time, stopped going to the meetings. It would be raining on a Friday night or a Tuesday night, and I would stop going to the meetings. The biggest thing for me is my complacency. Nowadays, if I know I don't want to go to a meeting or I'm tired, that's when I'm at risk, so I make sure I get to the meeting. I had something bad happened in my life at 21 months, and I used that as the excuse to go crazy again. This time, it didn't take the 8 weeks. It was 3 or 4 weeks of really going mad. And my kids knew something was up, so they came round to the flat. and they stripped out the booze. I was so desperate, I knew that something might be up, that I would hide my whiskey. I'd hide my whiskey in a place where they never found it. I lost my partner, I lost my kids, and I almost lost my job. But I knew this time the blood was coming out. I thought, I'm in serious trouble, I need to do something for me. I thought I was going to kill myself. I was very fortunate that someone in the mission dropped out, and they said, we can take you in immediately. So I went in. I knew this time it had to be for me. As I said before, I don't want to die. I want to see my children range from 17 to 24. I want to see them get older. I want to see grandchildren. And if I drink, that's not going to happen. So this time, I've got myself a sponsor. I go to various meetings regularly. And the real thing for me, the saving grace, is I do service. I bring the milk to a meeting. I take the keys to a meeting. My sponsor and I go to a retreat up north where we share what we're doing now. And I find that it's a way of life for me this time. It has to be a way of life. Everyone deserves a second chance. I'm on my third, even fourth chance. I've got my family back. I've got my partner back. And I've got my job back. And I couldn't have done that without AA. I've taken it little steps. I've done it at my speed. I've found that I have to be really selfish in my sobriety. But that's my story. And I'm going to keep coming back because it keeps me safe and it keeps me sober. So I'll just leave it there. Thank you.
Thanks so much for your sharing today, Ian. And now I'd like to pass it over to our next person to share, which is Pearl.
Kia ora, I'm Pearl and I'm an alcoholic. It's been great listening to both of you today. AA meetings are just such a key to my life now, and any peace and serenity that I can experience reminds me of some of the literature. It's from Steps and Traditions that every AA meeting is an assurance that God will restore us to sanity if we rightly relate ourselves to Him. And I really do find that, you know, I've had periods of my sobriety where I did think I was way too big for AA and way too clever, and I didn't go to meetings for a very long time, number of years, and I didn't pick up a drink. But somehow, my pride, or I don't know what it was, determination, but I was so miserable. I didn't have any joy in anything, and I had to get to the point where I had lost my mind before I got back to the meetings. And now that piece of literature is so important to me because it is so true. Every AA meeting reminds me that I'm not alone, that I have my fellow AA people around me, and that my higher power has actually got me in their hand. I don't have to do this alone. That was my journey when I was drinking. It was doom and loneliness and shame and hiding. And I, unlike these guys, I couldn't stop. I didn't even try to stop. If I woke up, I would drink. Any day, I would drink. I would drink until I had no money left that day or no booze, and then it would be terrible. So the very fact that I wake up these days and don't want to drink is an absolute miracle, and that isn't something that I have done. That is something that my higher power has taken away from me, that urge to drink, that compulsion, that mental obsession. And it happened before I realized, after just coming into the meetings and, you know, listening and sitting down and doing what I was told to do, just getting vulnerable and being honest and, and just listening to all the wisdom that is in the rooms from people that are on this journey as well, and then getting a sponsor and doing those steps, you know, as has been said, just to clear away all the wreckage of my past and make me see parts of myself that that were leading me back to drink or leading me back to crazy thinking. And and that compulsion to drink was just lifted. It was just gone. One day I realized I hadn't wanted to drink for today or for a couple of days, and it's never come back, you know. The odd time I will sort of have, if I'm not traveling so well or something really bad comes up, you know, I'll have that thought, or maybe a drink will fix this. And it's really scary. I've got a few years without a drink now, and I just sometimes think, you know, it's just like a muscle memory that my body and my brain tells me that for so many years that was my solution. And I get to a meeting when that happens, I ring someone and I tell them about it and we giggle. And one time it happened and I was so desperate. I was having a lot of health stuff going on and I was just so upset and no one was listening to me at the hospital and all this crap. And I thought, oh, a drink will fix it. And I was so close to driving to the booze shop, and then one of my friends from AA called me. You know, like, if that's not a miracle, I don't know what else, what is. I just truly feel that now that I am back in AA, that I'm being held, you know, that I'm on a preordained path. And it's not something I did either. And that's really, really, really important for me. I think why I stepped away from AA in the beginning is that my ego just got too big for the rooms, eh? I felt so fixed. I had my job back. I was doing well out there. And I just started to think that it was all me. I was taking credit for all that stuff, but it wasn't me. And coming back in after all the other stuff that happened in my dry drunk phase, I can really, really just, I have that rock bottom in my mind, and it's so important. It's kept me here. It's kept me wanting to go to AA, you know. I've heard recently AA is not for those who need it, it's for those who want it. And I find that really true. You know, it's AA is there, it's open, it's an amazing place. And but to get anything out of it, there's mahi to do. You've got to work hard, you've got to be honest, and you've got to want it. You've really got to want it. And it's just those simple things of, you know, replacing the booze and all that crap with a spiritual solution. And I found that quite hard to swallow when I first came in, having tried faith and found it wanting, as is said in the book. But I pretty soon listened and heard that that was actually what was working for those people who were really seeming quite well and whose recoveries I wanted to emulate. They really had that spiritual connection, and they did pray and they did meditate, and they seemed a lot calmer than I felt and had some serenity and contentment with their lives. So I started just to copy them a little bit and fake it till you make it, if you will. And it slowly but surely, I started to feel it as well. I started to feel that connection. I started to feel that I wasn't alone, and that if I couldn't cope with something, I could hand it over metaphorically to my higher power. And I did feel relief. And that's something I'd never had in my life before. I've always tried to carry my problems and all the world's problems on my shoulders, but I've learned that it's not going to help me, and it's not going to help my family if I get that weighed down. And I don't have to. I've got my higher power, and I've got all my fellows in AA who I can call. And one of the most important things that I've learned in AA is that I have to put it first, and that's from my sponsor. She said, "Pearl, you have to put your recovery first." And I said, "Yes, yes, yes, sure, sure, sure." But I didn't listen until I got really, really desperate, and then I really listened. And then I started to do that, choose my meeting, and that's what's first. That has to come first, and then everything else is okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pearl. Thank you all for joining us this morning. Our speakers have been Janine, Ian, and Pearl. We are on air every Sunday morning at 10:45 on Planet FM 104.6. If you wish to speak to someone directly, please call 0800 AA Works, that's 0800 229 6757, or go to the AA website at aaorg.org.nz, where you can find a whole raft of information. Could we all close the meeting with the Serenity Prayer, please?
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Your language, your interests, your community on planetaudio.org.nz.
Each week, around 3,000 units of blood are required to cover the needs of hospitals throughout New Zealand. Every drop counts. If you're over 16 and weigh more than 50 kilos, you can probably give blood. Go to nzblood.co.nz or call 0800-GIVE-BLOOD to book an appointment. You could save a life on your lunch break.
Senior Focus is a reflective radio program designed for those 50 plus, where you can listen to a wealth of knowledge and expertise and insights coming from within our senior community. Our range of topics and guests stretching from the personal to the professional, from advocates to inventors and heritage buffs, will offer unique perspectives. Our Senior Focus program is on at 5:25pm on Sundays. Or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus.
Hello, kia ora my friend. I'm Susie Cato, inviting you to join me for New Zealand's favourite kids show on Planet FM. It's called Susie and Friends, and there's songs, stories and prizes, jokes, reviews, birthdays and shout-outs. And kids just like you. Go to susie.co.nz for more information. I'd love you to be a friend. Just listen to the radio Sunday afternoons at 3:15 for Susie and Friends on Planet FM 104.6.
This is 104.6 Planet FM. Join AA Meeting on Air next Sunday morning at 10:45. And if you'd like to listen to this program again, go to our website, planetaudio.org.nz/AA Meeting on Air. All one word.
Deep.